It's definitely live. If you hear babies crying or if you hear phone calls, it's because my studio is in my dining room, living room, exercise room, kitchen. Right now, it's also the playroom, and it's going to be a hotel tomorrow. So it's a multi-purpose room, so pardon any noises. So the idea is that now we are on vacation, at least my vacation starting now, and maybe yours vacation started a little earlier. But it's now a time to get serious, because during vacation, we can use our time, we can waste our time. Now is an opportunity, especially what's going on in the world, to strengthen ourselves in Torah, Tefillah, and Bitachon. This is a Pesach shiur. We're going to get to Pesach in a minute, but the idea behind this shiur is that everyone probably is davening at home, or most of us, and we should try and strengthen, pick a certain Tefillah, maybe one new Tefillah a day that we can, focus on. As far as Torah, that's what we're doing right now. I try to give a certain focus on Pesach, try to go through all the halachas of Pesach if we can. The best would be if you could get a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Hei. We'll walk through that. So that would be for Torah. And Bitachon is definitely a time, whenever there's a tzara, whenever there's problems going on in the world, it's definitely a time to work on our Bitachon. The Chazon Ish wrote a sefer called Emunah Bitachon. And in it, he says that what is bitachon? What does bitachon mean? Bitachon isn't that you know everything's going to work out great. Oh, I have bitachon Hashem, everything's going to be great. That's not what bitachon is. Bitachon is knowing that there is no such thing as a mikra. There's no such thing as just happenstance. It's just going to happen. Bitachon means it's not just going to happen. Whatever happens is because Hashem wanted it to happen. Bitachon is knowing that whatever is going to happen is from Hashem, and it's not happenstance. And everyone's now in percentages of how many percentage of people get sick, how many percentage of people get really sick. We are not a percentage. We're all individuals. No one of us is a percentage. Hashem doesn't say, okay, well, I have to kill 20% of these people, 8% of these people get sick, percent of these people. That's not how we are. We're not a percentage. Each person is his own din Torah. Each person, Hashem is going to decide, okay, you're going to get sick, you're not going to get sick. We have to recognize that. We don't have to get caught up in all the newspapers and all the percentages, because we're not them. We live by a different measuring stick. Hashem will decide. It's our job to believe that, recognize that, and know that. Okay, so that's just something to strengthen ourselves with. And now, as far as the scheduling, I hope we'd like to try and do this every day until Pesach, which means around 14 days. Around 14 days. And Mitzvah Shabbos is 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. And then Mitzvah 5 days next week. And then Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And Mitzvah Shabbos will try. It should be 10 days. We'll do it 10 o'clock Israel time, which means right now 4 o'clock New York time, 3 o'clock Chicago time. And when we change the clock, so it'll be 10 o'clock Israel time, 3 o'clock New York time, and 2 o'clock Chicago time. We probably will be changing the clock Thursday night. So that means for this week, it'll be 10 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. All right, I do not have text to America, so the best way to reach me is my phone, 917-463-3234, 917-463-3234. Or you can email my wife and she'll answer all your shilas, or she'll show them to me if she can't handle them. The email address is DIRZL, Dirtzl, DIRZL at hotmail.com. Dirtzl at hotmail.com. She probably will be able to field all of your questions. So I wanted to go in order of Hilchas Pesach. In order of Hilchas Pesach, starting from Simon Tov Chav Tes. So if you get a Mishnah Berurah handy, it'd be great. If not, I will walk you through it anyway. So now, as far as practical for cleaning your house, I will answer Shabbos personally. On a general level, I would recommend everyone email to Zach Rosen. His email address is zrosen, Z-R-O-S-E-N, zrosen@gmail.com. He has a 4-page easy schmeezy guide to cleaning your house for Pesach. You probably could clean your house in 1 hour or 2 hours. So I definitely recommend you sending him the email, and he will send you back this four page, it's from Rabbi Wiener. Okay, from Rabbi Wiener, he made it very clear and easy for everyone. So I would recommend you emailing him, zrosen@gmail.com. All right, so now we're going to start. Hilchos Pesach primarily is divided into three groups. There's the chametz part, the matzah part, and the seder part. Chametz, matzah, and seder. So we're going to start with the chametz part. I hope to do the chametz part in one or two times, the matzah part in one or two times, and then the seder the rest of the time. I will try to end every session around a half hour after it started, or maybe even less, depending on my strength and your strength to listen. Once I see you start tuning out, I'll also tune out. So I also like to end a little bit with a little bit on the Haggadah. So we'll primarily do every time the Shir of Lihalacha. Towards the end, I'll do a little bit on the Haggadah as well. All right, here we go. Simon Tav Chav Tes starts with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is what we just started in Israel, and you'll be starting in America in a few hours. It starts up that you should start learning Hilchos Pesach 30 days before Pesach, which we're starting 2 weeks before, so you know what, we're not so bad, halfway. And one halacha is they're supposed to give money to aniyim for Pesach. Obviously, there's always a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, but there's a special mitzvah of giving money for aniyim for Pesach for the matzahs. So if you know how to bake matzahs, bake it for them. If you know how to give them flour. Or most realistically, just give them money and they will buy their own stuff. That is Halacha Alam Tavchav Tes. Halacha Beis is probably the most famous and popular halacha of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is there's no Tachanun during Nisan. The whole month of Nisan does not have Tachanun, which means starting now already, because by Mincha we also don't do it, for the next month, there'll be no Tachanun. The reason is, and there's no gabbai in your shul if you're davening at home, so it's important to know this. The reason that there is no tachanun in the month of Nisan is because, Mishnah Berurah explains, most of the month is called kodesh. Most of the month is called holy. What that means is, most of the month has something very special. There are 12 days that the Nisim brought karbanos when they were inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. Then you have the days of Yantiv, before, after. So the point is, it comes out that more the majority of the month is special. And Mishnah Berurah calls it Kodesh. So because most of the month is Kodesh, we don't need to say Tachanun. Tachanun in general is something which gets our tefillahs answered. Tachanun is something which Moshe Rabbeinu did when he fell down by Korach. It's something which gets your tefillahs answered. We normally need to do something special to get our tefillahs answered. But during the month of Nisan, because the Kodesh month, therefore we do not need to do anything special. Fine, so that is Halacha Beis and Tavchav Tes. Also, there's no fasting. Let's say it's a yard site, people have to make the fast. There is no fasting during Nisan. The only fast that there is the fast of the Bechar, Tainis Bechar on Erev Pesach, which we'll discuss later on. As we get there, how to avoid it, or if you want to do it, how to do it. That we'll get to later on. Taf Lamed, Simon Taf Lamed discusses Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos before Pesach, so it's not this Shabbos, it is the next Shabbos. And why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? Because there's a big nace which happened on Shabbos HaGadol, that B'nai Yisrael in the Midbar, in Mitzrayim, sorry, they tie the lamb, the Karban Pesach, to their bed. And that was the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim. And even though it was the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim, they still did not attack the Jews. Even though the Jews tied their Avodah Zarah to the bedpost, the Jews were not attacked. So because that's called Shabbos HaGadol, there's nothing really different we do on Shabbos HaGadol. Some people have the minhag of saying over the Haggadah, starting from Avadim Hayinu. You're not allowed to have matzah, you don't want to have maror, but you are allowed to read the Haggadah from Avadim Hayinu and on. Some have the minhag to yes do it, some have the minhag not to do it. I personally do not do it, but there are definitely many of those who do it. Okay, Taf Lamed Aleph. Now we're starting B'dikas Chametz. So B'dikas Chametz is done the 14th at night, which would be the Seder is Wednesday night, so it would be Tuesday night. So Tuesday night is the Zman for B'dikas Chametz. So it's supposed to be done right away at Seis HaKochavim. The first great fun shaila B'dikas Chametz is which comes first, Mariv or B'dikas Chametz? It's a discussion. We've seen that we pass and we do Mariv first. So therefore, even if you do not have minyanim and you're on your own, you should schedule your ma'ariv minyan in your house right at Seis HaChochavim, which is, depending where you are, 20 minutes, 40 minutes after sunset, an hour, depending where you are. You should do ma'ariv and then do bedikas chametz. You should not eat. You should not learn. You should not work. You should not do anything once the time of bedikas chametz comes. Now, if you need to wait for someone to come home from work, that means you're in some foreign country because no one is working out of their house these days. But if you have to wait for someone, or your wife, or your friends, or your father, your mother, sister, brother is not ready yet for bedikas chametz, and you need to wait, it's fine. You don't need to kill anyone. But if you are waiting, you should still avoid eating, working, etc. If you feel the need to eat, you are allowed to snack. If you feel the need to do more than just snacking, it's a machlokes. If you appoint the shomer to remind you to do bedika, then there's more wiggle room. Same thing as far as learning. If you can't control yourself and you need to learn a little before, so I know it's hard, you have to appoint a shomer to remind you to do bedika, and then you can learn a little bit. But really, preferably, you should start right away. That's what Siman Tov Lamed Aleph is discussing. And now what you're supposed to be checking is all the holes, the crevices, all around your house. We'll get to more details soon. But that's what bedikas chametz is. And therefore, you should prep the house in advance, knowing that you're going to do bedikas chametz. So prep the house in advance that you should be ready to start at Seis HaChochavim. Yeah. All right. That was Tav Lamed Aleph. Tav Lamed Beis discusses the bracha. That we make the bracha on bedikas chametz, and the bracha is Asher kishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al bior chametz. The bracha is not al bedikas chametz; it's al bior chametz. The reason is the Mishnah explains because bedika is really just a start. The real part of the mitzvah is the burning of the chametz the next day. So the bracha is based on bior chametz, which means destroying the chametz. That's the bracha that we're making, but we make it now. And it includes the burning of the chametz, which we're going to do the next day. So there is no bracha at the time of burning the chametz. The only bracha is at the time of bedikas chametz, and it's cute. The bracha at bedikas chametz is about the burning of the chametz because it's one long process, and therefore you cannot talk from the time you start bedika until the next day that you burn the chametz. Got that? Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Now, you are allowed to talk, but you're not allowed to talk until you actually start doing bedika. And you're only allowed to talk about things that pertain to the bedika, which means you make the bracha al bior chametz. Don't talk until you start looking. Once you start looking, then you're only allowed to talk what's needed for the bedika. Like you can say, what's this? Is this chametz? Who put that there? What's that doing there? Is that really needed for chametz? Is that pays out? That question pertaining to chametz. But what? The local stats. Well, there are no sport games anymore, but the local, you know, whatever, the only stats that everyone's following should not be discussed at that time. And right, so it should be focused on that. Once you finish the bedika, then yes, you can talk and go on with your business. Now, if you need to check multiple houses, you do one bedika for all of them. If you need to check your car, you do one bedika and one bracha includes everything. You are allowed, let's say you have multiple people in the house, you're allowed to, split up and let Reuven check this room, Shimon check that room, Levi check the other room. As long as they are male over the age of 13, they can check, they can do bedika. There is a machlokes if you can have women check for you. If you're stuck, you can. Otherwise, it's better for a male 13 and older to check. Women are allowed to clean up before and after. But the actual bedika should be done by males age 13 and older. There is a minhag, and we like to keep our minhagim, which is to put 10 pieces of bread around the house. You do not want to lose them. You do not want to hide them really, really well. You want someone to hide them that will keep track of where they are. And if you do lose them, it's a siman later on we'll discuss, but it's going to cause trouble. So try not to lose them. And you want to do bedika, look all around for chametz, including those 10 pieces that were hidden. Okay, that is the minhag.
Why do we do 10 pieces?
We do 10 pieces in case the house is so perfectly clean that you will have no chametz to really check. So we don't want it to be a bracha levatala. Now, even if your house is perfectly clean, they still say it's not a bracha levatala. But that's where the minhag came from. The minhag came from, perhaps your house is perfect, we don't want it to be bracha levatala. But because of that, we do it no matter what. So we put our 10 pieces around whether your house is clean or your house is dirty. That is the minhag of the 10 pieces. Now, Taf Lam and Gimel starts the actual bedika process. Then you're supposed to check it by the candlelight. And yes, it discusses no using torches, no blow torches, no Havdalah candles, nothing else that could anyway look like larger than a single candle. You'll have to use one single candle, and you should use one single candle. Now, the major shaila of the day is, what about electricity? What about a flashlight? So the Gemaras don't discuss that for some reason. Probably they didn't have electricity back then. All the Gemara does say is we want to use candlelight and not sunlight. Now, so we are using candlelight, and now what about using electricity? So it is a machlokes. Some say electricity is better and works better. The others say that we have a minhag. We don't like to change our minhagim. So therefore, what I recommend is holding a candle and a flashlight when you make your bracha. Do some checks with the candle. Do not check near anything flammable with your candle. Do not light anything on fire. Beer chametz is the next day. It's not that night. So don't light any fires. And you should do the rest of the bedika with your flashlight as well. You can decide whether you want to use both or not, but definitely start with the candle. So that is the minhag. And you should do that. So now you're supposed to check everywhere. Now this is the major shaila of bedikas chametz, which is, in many places, the house is so clean before bedikas chametz. Like, what am I checking for? I just cleaned the last week or two. I've been home all day just cleaning. There's nothing else to do. What am I doing on? Very good question. Perhaps for that reason, we hide the 10 pieces of bread just so that you could check. But you are going to go through the house, and what you're really doing is checking to make sure that you cleaned everything. Like, you have a lot of cabinets, a lot of places you want to go through and make sure, yes, I checked there, yes, I checked there, yes, I checked there. Now, I'll just read inside, for those who have it, the Shari Tshuva, at the end of Taf Lam and Gimel. The Shari Tshuva, Ois Beis, at the end of Taf Lam and Gimel, I'll read it, says, Ulechein mekilin hamone am. Many people are mekel, livdoik derech ha'avara. Many people check just very superficially. Belichi push, hated, without checking really well, b'chorim tzedakin in the cracks and crevices. Because we checked everything, we cleaned everything so well, even if it's done by a guy, even if you have a guyish cleaning lady who may have checked it very well, we believe them because they want to do a good job. And because of that, the minhag has come to do a very superficial bedika. And some say that's okay. The idea is you have to make sure your house is clean. So spend a week or two before, make it really clean. So come bedikas chametz night, if you want to go ahead and do a shorter bedika, that's okay. The goal is check everything to make sure that it was checked. That's the real key of the bedika, okay? That's bedikas chametz. Now the next day, that night, you're going to do a beer, which we'll get to in a second. So that's the end of Taf Lam and Gimel. Okay, so Taf Lam and Gimel goes to all the places you need to check. More or less, any place that you know you went there with chametz, you need to check. Any place that you know chametz never went. What? Any place that you know chametz never went, so do not check. You don't need to check.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I just want to ask, Rebbe was saying that come Bedika night, you don't have to check so well if you know that your house is clean.
If you checked you clean your house perfectly, you commuted. If you know that you checked every place perfectly, so what you're doing that night is going over your whole house to make sure, yes, I checked that place well. You don't need to necessarily recheck and re-clean every place that you've already cleaned. So what you should do is clean it well before. When you come to Bdikas Night, go over every spot and make sure, yes, that cabinet I clean, that cabinet I clean. Now, if you have little kids around, which you shouldn't, lady, so then you make sure that they didn't get anywhere, and you can't really do that. So there are people with little children may have to check again and again and again, and there's no end to that. But the point is, a lot of Bdikas Chametz is common sense. You have to make sure you check every place well. Okay, that's the lachas of Bdika. Maybe we'll end that part right now. The next step will be the beer the next day, bitzel and beer, which maybe we'll discuss next time. Okay, so we've locked in what the month of Nisan is, Shabbos HaGadol, Bdikas Chametz, and all those details. I will end off just with three different things as far as the Haggadah. First a riddle, then a Shaila, and then a Pshat. Okay, here's the riddle, which I'm not going to give you the answer for now. The riddle is, where in the Seder night, the night of the Seder, do we do something that is reminding us of the Kesenes Pasim, of the brother Yosef's coat? Yeah, Yosef's coat of many colors that they took from him, etc., etc. What do we do Pesach night that reminds us about that, and why do we do that? That's the riddle for the night. I'll tell you now, Alam Disha Shaila, a great Shaila, which I want you to think about. You have 23 and a half hours to think about the Shaila. The Shaila is like this. The mitzvah of the night of the Seder is Higada Talabincha, to tell over to your sons. So if you're a father, tell over to your sons. If you're a son, you have to listen to your father. If you're all alone, you still say it over. But here's a lamdish shaila, which is, let's say the father has five children. Does he have to tell all five of them? Or it's enough if he tells one of them? Like, you know, the favorite son. Ha, this is not the answer to the riddle, by the way. To tell your favorite son, right, you want to tell it over. So you have five kids at the table. Do you have to tell them all? Or my mitzvah is to tell one of them. That's one shaila. Is it halakha on all five sons or just one? Another shaila is, let's say you have an Israeli son and an American father. Just happen to know someone like that. So now, let's say, though, the Israeli son is at the father's second Seder. So for the father, it is Yantif, it's Pesach, it's having a Seder. But for the son, it's not his Seder. Is there a mitzvah to tell him? For the father, it's Yantif. For the son, it's not Yantif. Okay? Two very related shilas. I'll explain maybe a little bit more tomorrow how they're related. Okay? But that's riddle number one. Where's the Kesenes Pasim in the Seder night? Shaila, Lamdisha Shaila is, he got to the Bincha, is it halach in every son? And does it have to be that the son shares the same day of Yontif as the father? And now, as far as a little Pshetel, I'll ask a very nice Shaila, which is a very great answer, which is like this. We say in the Haggadah that the Bnei Yisrael had six children at every pregnancy. That was like part of the bracha, how Paro wanted to keep us from having Peruvu, and we were Yishitsu Yirbu, we were fruitful, and we multiplied, we had many children. And then, right, so the Gemara, and the Haggadah says, and Rashi brings down Chumash, we had six at a time. So here's, it's a riddle, but it's a fake riddle, I'm going to give you the answer. So Moshe Rabbeinu, what were Moshe Rabbeinu's five other siblings? What happened to them? Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu was born during the Shibud. Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the little boat. So what happened? His mother Yocheved only cared about Moshe. What about Moshe's five other siblings? She didn't care about them? The answer is that Moshe...
They were girls.
We also care about girls. Hello, why did he put girls in there? Anyway, what is the reason that... Yocheved pick Moshe Rabbeinu to save, not the other five? The answer is, Moshe did not have five other siblings, which begs itself the other question. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was not born with five other siblings? He had Aaron and Miriam, which were older than him. But in his birth sack, there were only him, only Moshe Rabbeinu. And Aaron was only Aaron and Miriam, only Miriam. Why was it that everyone was having six babies at a time, except for Yocheved? Yocheved was, you know, if anyone...
I know, pick me, Rabbi, pick me, Rabbi, pick me.
Mute. Anyway, the what's it called? The Levy, you're not the only one that knows the answer. My wife also knows the answer, so ha.
Wow, did you just equate me? Wow, I think it's a compliment, actually. Thank you.
Huge. Anyway, so here's the way this goes. Moshe Rabbeinu was from Shevet Levi. Nice, Rafael, you're on the scoreboard. Moshe Rabbeinu was from Shevet Levi. Anyway, stop the walk. Now, so here's the way this goes. The Shibud in Mitzrayim was on the 11th Shvatim, but it was not on Shevet Levi. Levi was exempted from the Shibud. But the same reason they were exempted from the Shibud, they didn't get the bracha. They didn't get, Levi's doing his Levi dance. They didn't get the bracha of having six kids at a time. So it goes hand in hand. The 11 tribes that were in the slavery, they got the bracha of having six, and it is a bracha, by the way. They got the bracha of having six kids at a time, where Shevet Levi was not in it. And therefore, Shevet Levi did not get the Shibud. Now, why was Shevet Levi not in the Shibud? The answer to that question is wild. Because Paro understood that every nation, including the Jewish nation, needs to have a part of their nation that learns and does not work. How about that? Even Paro understood the importance of Koilo. Even Paro understood that there was no such thing as being Nizmanim. There was 12 months of slavery for the 11 tribes. And 12 months of yeshiva for Shevet Levi. And because it was this whole long cycle, Paro understood that Shevet Levi was never put into slavery, and they were learning. But because of that, they also did not have six babies at a time. And if you look at the census in Parshas Bamidbar and other, whenever the Torah counts the census, you're going to see how Shevet Levi was always the smallest tribe. The reason is because they did not have six at a time. All right. I wish you all a wonderful night. And meet them tomorrow, same time, same Zoom channel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
And Zach for setting this up. Young man, Zach.
Rabbi, thank you for making us smart.
I try to make you smart, lady. Have a good night, everybody.
Sure, you're not going to get smart.
I'm trying.
Bye. Keep trying.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Have a good night, Rabbi.
Good night, everybody.
Whoa.
Thank you.
What's up, Zach?
Zach,
Rosen.